Hello.
Hey everybody. My name is Marie-Pierre.
And I'm Véronique.
So we are two registered dietitians passionate about living our healthiest life and promoting evidence-based nutrition.
If you're interested in learning legit nutrition information without spending hours researching and sorting through the rotten apples, well, this podcast is for you. Hi guys.
So welcome to episode number 9 of Ask Your Dietitians.
So this week on this episode, we're going to talk about dairy products.
Yeah. So we got a bunch of different questions about dairy products and why they're no longer on the Canadian Food Guide. So is it because they're not good anymore or we don't need them? So we're going to address all of that during the podcast. But before we start, we wanted to address something very quickly.
Yeah, something that we want really to make sure that everyone understand that we're doing this for many reasons. So we're doing this podcast because, first of all, I think we really enjoy it. We're learning at the same time. We're learning some new, we're getting up to date. And we wanted to share to you guys every new evidence, every new studies that we found out. And it's not on one-on-one consultation. So it's not based on every individual needs, but it's more, we just want to share to you guys the info that we got.
Yeah, so it's really a knowledge-based podcast, and we like to dive deep and get you the information, but it is in no way recommendations, and we're definitely not telling you what to eat and what not to eat. We just really want to give you the information so you can make the educated choice on what to eat and what not to eat. If you do have more questions, though, and you want something more personalized, then feel free to reach out to us. But again, this is not a meal plan for you, and this is not like a personal recommendation that you should or should not eat a certain food.
Yeah, exactly. Because most of the time we go like 20, 24, 25, 30 minutes on every episode. So we don't go into every deep details. But, oh, you have a question about this particular aspect on this subject, well, just rate us and yeah, we will be happy to go into more detail on another episode.
Yeah, exactly. So if you want to write to us, our email is askyourdietitians@gmail.com. So now that this little bubble is done and we're going to move on to our podcast about dairy products. So let's start up with just explaining what are dairy products.
Mm-hmm. So it's made from milk from mammals. And it's so this includes milk, butter, ice cream, and cheese in general.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, any type of milk product that comes from mammals. So it can be a cow, sheep, goat, camel, whatever mammal produces milk. So it's an animal byproduct. It is considered a vegetarian option, that is, as it not the animal itself.
Yeah, and those products brings us a really good source of protein. It's a complete protein with a very high bioavailability and a really good absorption of calcium and a good source of vitamin D as well.
Yeah, so those are definitely the benefits of dairy products. So protein is a big one, except in ice cream. We're going to say right now, ice cream is not a source of protein, and it's just a food to have sometimes. Also not a great source of calcium or vitamin D, as it is mostly the cream. But most dairy products are high in protein, vitamin D, and calcium. So calcium and vitamin D especially are very good for our bone density. So making your bones strong, especially at the growing age, when our bones are kind of getting weaker, we want to have those nutrients to really help us. But also as athletes or anybody who really works out, we put a lot of tension on our bones. So we want to make sure that we do have a very strong bone density.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Even chocolate milk is even a good source of carbohydrates and protein at the same time.
And then vitamin D, it's a vitamin that we need in our diet. It's something that as North Americans, we don't get enough of because we don't get a lot of sun. But it's something that helps us with a lot of different metabolic mechanism and as well as our mood. So it helps us be a little bit happier. So vitamin D is very, very important. And most vitamin D comes from animal products. So the only actually plant-based type of vitamin D is mushrooms.
Yeah, and that's why milk alternatives are fortified in vitamin D, because it's helped also to maintain the calcium into the bones.
Yeah. And it's, I think, one of the reasons that it used to be on the food guide was for the calcium and the vitamin D. As Canadians, we need more calcium, more vitamin D, and milk is such an easy way to get those nutrients that they made it essential. However, now they took it off because there is other ways to get calcium and vitamin D, and you don't need to consume milk to be part of a balanced diet, but milk definitely fits.
Yeah, talking about the food guide, so the new food guide, like we were talking at the very, very first episode, milk and dairy products are not excluded from the government recommendation. They just don't have a special place on our plate. Like there's no food that really deserves a special plate. It's just the variety that counts.
Yeah, exactly. So another benefit of milk is for growing children. So as we grow up, we need more calories. We need a lot of that calcium and vitamin D for our bones because we are growing. So kids really benefit from having an intake of milk in their diet to make sure that they are growing adequately and that they are getting everything that they need.
Yeah, at that age, we just want to make sure, because their bones are growing very fast, and that's where we encourage very young people to consume a good amount of calcium.
Okay, so now we're going to go through the risk and consequences of consuming dairy products. We're also going to talk about different myths associated with dairy products as well. So the first one I want to talk about is cancer. So there is a lot of people out there linking dairy products to cancer. Let's dive deep and look at the research. There is some research that do talk about the side effect of dairy products and linking it to cancer. For example, there's one research in 2015 that analyzed data from 32 different studies and was able to link the consumption of dairy product to increased risk of prostate cancer. There is also another study that linked the consumption of dairy products with testicular cancer and colon cancer. So I just want to say that these study showed a link, but a link is not the same thing as a cause, which means that the consumption increased the risk, however, did not cause cancer. I also want to talk about a study that was done in McGill. So here in Canada, McGill is a university in Montreal. And basically what they did is, with a group of rats, they had on the exact same diets, and one was consuming water every day and one was consuming low-fat milk every day. And then after a few weeks, they checked, and the rats that were consuming milk had more tumors.
It was skim milk, right?
It was skim milk that they were giving the rats. They weren't able to reproduce that study into human study. So again, we are not rats. So it's just to take that into mind. But however, there is still some evidence showing, so it's something to take into account.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and it's a thing too to have like one or a couple studies that shown probably a possible effect, but if we don't have enough, we can't say that it's really a strong evidence base, right?
Yeah, like it's not necessarily conclusive. And then there's different, so the British Journal of Cancer actually had a research, and the way they conducted their research is basically being like, okay, they followed people who were lactose intolerant and people who were not lactose intolerant. So this research was made in Sweden. So they had over 20,000 participants in the study, which is pretty large. So it's a good amount. And what they did is basically looked at everybody who was lactose intolerant, therefore did not consume any type of dairy products, and people who were not lactose intolerant, therefore did consume dairy products, and checked what was the risk of having cancer. And with that research, they actually showed that people who were lactose intolerant had less risk of having cancer, so decreased risk. So they assume that that decreased risk came from not consuming any lactose. But I, again, just want to keep in mind that although it is an impressive study and there's something to say for it, lactose intolerance does not mean that you don't consume any dairy. You don't consume lactose, but there is a lot of lactose-free alternatives. So you can still consume dairy. So the line is blurred, I think, in this type of study.
Yeah, really. I'm thinking about all the other factors that can play a role in this study, and there's many. There's plenty.
Yeah. But I think it's still something that's interesting. And the McGill University, we're talking about, well, you know, milk, we've been drinking milk for so long and we've never really found a link. So why now? And something that keeps coming up is that milk is just made differently. There is a lot of additive now added to milk, so it won't separate. So I don't know, like we were way too young to remember that, but the way they used to do it is basically they would have milk, it wasn't pasteurized, and they would bring it to your house the morning of, and you had to drink it that day or else it wasn't good anymore. It's not the case anymore and doesn't work anymore because we're so many people on this earth. You can't produce at that rate. So now the milk is pasteurized. There's added ingredients as well just to keep the milk fresh longer.
There's so many factors. Yeah. Oh, good point. Yeah, we always have to ask ourselves questions when we read studies and even new evidence. We always have to ask ourselves questions like this.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think it is important to say that there have been studies that did show a link. So if we're being objective here, we need to keep that in mind. I think it's
Totally. Yeah. And I have one too. I've read some direction of risk and grade from evidence review. And I found a calcium related to possible cancer, prostate cancer. So this is from 2014. Okay. And yeah, so it's a possible link, but I just wanted to compare from other sources, like other nutrient, like iron. There's possible sources for cancer of rectum and colon, and same thing for fat. So this might be linked to a lung cancer. So where I'm going with that is just that, okay, they might be a possible link between those, but does that mean that we have to avoid it? Well, no, it's just that they're just making studies to see if there's a link, if there's a possible effect, but it doesn't mean that you have to avoid it. It's just...
So another risk is cardiovascular disease. So again, we've talked about this so many times now in all our podcasts, but saturated fats are linked to cardiovascular disease. Saturated fats are the fats that are hard at room temperature. And those are the fats that are in all our dairy products. So in our milk, cheese, cream, yogurt. So they're mostly saturated fats. A good way to avoid this is to go for the low fat options, so you don't get all the saturated fats found in these foods.
Interesting.
So I want to talk about hormones. This is another myth that by consuming dairy products, we are messing up our hormones and we're creating imbalances in our body. A lot of the people who would claim this talk about in the food industry that they inject hormones and antibiotics to the cows, and then we take the milk and then we drink all the antibiotics and the hormones. Well, first off, I want to debunk this myth by saying that in Canada, it is totally illegal to do so. We cannot use any type of growth hormones for any cattle. In the US, it is a little bit different, but in Canada, we cannot. Also, we cannot use antibiotics for growth. And if a cattle needs to go on antibiotics because of an illness, there is a withdrawal period. So basically after they are done having the antibiotic, they won't be able to take the milk for a while before we can actually put it in the production. So they'll take out the milk and throw it out because it might contain antibiotics. So there should not be any type of hormone antibiotics from those injections in the milk. However, milk itself does have some estrogen, which is completely normal.
I just wanted to add here that the estrogen is fat soluble. So it's a hormone that is found in fat. Therefore, a skim milk will have less estrogen than like a high fat milk.
But the effects on our body have not been proven. So people have been trying to say that having estrogen intake through milk or dairy products actually increases our estrogen levels. But we have no evidence that it actually increases our estrogen levels significantly to create any type of effect on our body.
Yeah. Well, I just have a question that just pops up in my mind. I don't know if it's the same thing, like the estrogen, if it's the same thing from dairy products than from soy products. I don't know if it's the same, like the same availability, the same chemicals.
No, so actually it's not the same whatsoever. So the hormone from milk products and animal products is a completely different chemical from the estrogen from plants. It's almost really, like cholesterol. Yeah, you know, like there's no cholesterol in plants, but they have a type of sterol.
Okay.
It's the same thing for estrogen. So it's not the same type of estrogen. So basically it is a different chemical and it doesn't impact our body the same way. I'd be super curious though to learn more about this, that if we do have any type of hormone intake, how it can impact us, right? Like it is interesting and I'm looking forward to seeing new studies coming out about this. Okay, and then lastly, my last risk is for people who are lactose intolerant. So this is a case of its own. So people who cannot digest lactose. Lactose is the sugar found in dairy products. And some people do not have the enzyme. So enzyme is basically the little molecule, the little protein that helps you digest. So some people don't have the adequate enzyme to digest lactose. So this being said, these people cannot digest properly. So a lot of them will get like cramping, diarrhea, following ingestion. There is some pills you can take to help you digest, or you can just go for lactose-free alternatives. And I wanted to say that this is not like a self-diagnostic. You can just to say like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant because I feel like I am. Like there's actually a test you can do to make sure that you are or that you are not. Don't just take it off your diet, because once you do and it's completely out of your body, then your body doesn't produce the enzymes anymore. It's the concept of use it or lose it. If you don't need certain enzymes because you're not using them, your body's not going to keep making them. So if you haven't had dairy products in your body for a long time, you're not going to have the enzymes to digest it.
Yeah, and it's completely normal. In that case, we suggest that you just start by introducing some lower sources of lactose so you can better digest it, and then after that your body will be more used to produce those enzymes.
Yeah, so you just start with small doses.
Yeah,
so that's it for the risk and consequences. If you guys heard of other myths if you guys heard about other myths concerning dairy products, we'd be super curious to hear them.
Yeah, really, because I'm pretty sure there's plenty.
Oh, I'm sure too.
Yeah, another thing that was really, really interesting was the environment implication of dairy products. So it was kind of interesting to search for this information, but I found out that Greenpeace was really helpful for that, well, the most part. So Greenpeace is a non-governmental organization who basically wants a greener and peaceful world. So they're really good with that. And I just discovered that I was wondering myself, because, you know, we have so many questions that we keep asking ourselves about nutrition. But this one was one example that I was really asking myself for a long time. Like, we don't kill animal to eat them. So why is it so affecting our planet? I have so many answers for that. It was quite interesting. So right now, we know that richer countries have already over-consuming meat and milk. Those levels of consumption are not sustainable. So by consuming less, it could decrease environmental impact and also feed more people from much less, and perhaps land for biodiversity conservation. Where I'm going with that is we have many, many impacts on our environment, such as the greenhouse gas emissions. So this one is released from the big, big food system that we have right now. So if we do nothing, there's a statistic that by 2050, this gas emission from the food system will represent more than half of the total global emission. So that's a lot. And those types of emissions are a massive spread of dead zones in the oceans and degradation of many, many rivers and lakes. And it's also expected to rise. So we really expect to increase it more than 1.8% per year. So this is what we expect. Producers have to limit on how far they can reduce impacts. So right now we're really aware on how we have an impact on the planet with all the food we choose to eat, but not all types of meat and dairy are equally harmful. For example, if we compare, we have many studies that found out that milk has a smaller climate footprint than chicken and eggs or even pork, but the other types of cheese, such as cheddar or mozzarella, have a bigger footprint than chicken or pork. So it really depends on which kind of dairy you're buying. Okay, and also dairy cows are also a major consumer of feed crops. So those feed production has a negative impact on our forests, water sources, and climate as well. So this system contributes to food insecurity, where we used to feed animals instead of feeding like directly people. So that was really interesting. For sure, there's more study on that. But yeah, Greenpeace has really, really good sources on this subject, and not even on dairies or meat, on so many other like food.
Awesome. Okay. So, all of this said, Vero, what is your opinion about dairy products? Should we avoid them? Should we have them all the time? What do you tell your clients?
Well, it really depends. If we compare from, I think it's the last, I don't remember. No, it's the last episode where we talked about the palm oil. This case, it's kind of particular because we have a really strong health benefits here. It's evidence-based that it's really benefit for human health. So there's no really health hazard proven for today. If you would like to avoid or limit those products, well, it's really like it's up to every single individual person if you want to avoid or limit it. But you consume a fair to good amount of protein, calcium, and vitamin D from plant-based sources, well, that's perfect. That's even, yeah, that's good. That's perfect. But you have to keep in mind, just to make sure that you have to eat probably more sources. Like for one cup of milk, the same amount of calcium, you have to eat 8 cups of spinach or 2 cups of broccoli. So you see that you have to go get your sources from bigger amounts somewhere else.
Mm. So do you consume dairy products?
Oh, I do. Yeah. Yeah, I do. But
biggest source of protein, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. Yeah, I really like the taste of milk. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big milk fan, though. But yeah, another thing I was wondering about, and I don't know if it's the same thing in Ontario, though, but where I live in Quebec, and here the milk is made from Quebec. Local farmers promote their products, and we buy local, you know, I'm pretty sure it's a really small impact that we have here. Well, smaller impact Yeah, it's just encouraging locals.
But now with the new law, I don't want to get into all this politics, but the new law with Trump and all, they don't put emphasis on the Quebec products anymore. Same thing in Ontario.
Oh.
You put more emphasis, like for eggs and milk, especially the taxes were lower. I think actually there was no taxes on local products, and they're changing all of that, which is why some farmers are super pissed off.
I see.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what about you?
So for myself, as my own person, I do not consume dairy products.
Not at all? Oh, okay.
No, most of the time. So okay. I don't digest it very, very well. Like I don't drink milk, but I also don't enjoy the taste of milk. I'll have milk alternatives. I really enjoy soy milk because it does have the same amount of protein, with enrich in calcium and vitamin D. I get super bloaty when I eat cheese, which kind of sucks because I really like cheese. And I'll get like Skyr yogurt, which is a yogurt that's very low, well, is lactose free, which I seem to be digest really well. I also have IBS and have a lot of digestion issues. So that's my personal bubble. That I don't consume it. I'll have it here and there if I'm out and there's something that I want, but I'm probably going to pay for it later. So for my clients, however, I think it's a personal choice again. So for someone like you, Vero, who is basically her main source of protein, you would never tell that person to not have it anymore. So I think it has to do with your own digestion. If you're able to digest it, if it's something that you do enjoy, and then choosing the right foods. So dairy products is a huge category and there's different products that come to it. If you're eating ice cream every day, then maybe that's an issue. But if you're having low fat, great dairy products, then I think it can work in your diet and it's all in balanced.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. We're not the expert on environmental problems, but nutrition wise is really interesting. And, but if you would like to have other sources, there's really efficient options on the market right now.
Yeah.
Especially today.
Yeah, we live in a really interesting time where, like, if you don't want to have one type of food, there's so many other options that you do have a choice.
Yeah, compared to before.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for listening and staying with us through this podcast. We hope you really enjoyed it.
Yes, and if you would like to learn about something in specific that we never talked about, or if you want to learn more about something we just talked about, just write us an email. And I really, really hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and please like, share, review our podcast. We're trying to get our podcast out there and reach more people to give this knowledge-based information. So if you could please share, like, subscribe, we would really, really appreciate it.
Oh, yes. And see you next week for another episode.
See you next week.
Bye.